how the Bible clearly does say that women should be leading and should have and can have roles of leadership in the church. And the reason we're talking about that, I know that it kind of seems like that makes no sense if you're in a church that has a pastor for a woman, but the reason is that we know that many of you are getting questions about women in leadership, and we also understand and know that you sometimes have to defend the fact that you come to this church with a woman as a pastor. But we also want to encourage more women to go into the roles that God has called them, not just to say, I want to become a pastor on their own, but really to do what God has called them to do. So here we are, Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. You don't have to stand, but if you could read with me, we're reading from the New King James Version. The words will appear on your screen. Let's read this together. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass that in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servant and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Father, I ask that you would speak a word to your people today. Use me, O God, move me aside, come in and have your way, and teach your word like never before in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. The title of my message today is God's Call to Women. God's Call to Women. Now, over the last 2 weeks, we've dealt with some really controversial statements that have been found in the Bible. And if you want more detail on it, I want to encourage you to go back to the podcast. They're free. You can get them on Rohi Christian Church or rohichurch.org website. But we talked in the first week, we looked at Old Testament to New Testament, how there are women that are serving in pastoral leadership roles, prophetess roles in the Bible. And then we looked last week at what did Paul say, because Paul had the two most controversial conversations or topics about it. We looked at those scriptures in context, and we determined that they were really meant for that church for that particular time, not as universal commandments for everyone. And if you want some more details on that, again, go back to the podcast. So we laid the foundation so that now we can confidently say that women are and can be called to the ministry. Everybody say amen. So we have this passage in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit has now fallen on the people of God. Jesus has risen. He's gone back. He said, wait till you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, and the Bible says there's 120 people in the upper room, both men and women, and the Holy Spirit fell on each of them. So there were tongues of fire on men and women's head. And then they started speaking in tongues. And then Peter gets up because people said they're drunk. They're not just talking about the men were drunk, but they thought the ladies were drunk too. So they got up and he says, look, this is exactly what the prophet Joel spoke about. He said that it's going to come to pass in the last days that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. And he says, your sons and your daughters. Now, what's interesting is Peter doesn't say your sons and even your daughters, which means that the women, this wasn't some common thing for women to do. He says your sons and your daughters, as if it's a normal thing, shall prophesy. And even on my men servant and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That means even on men and women, I'm going to pour my spirit out. Now, here's what's important. Is that when we talk about can a woman be in leadership positions and God's call to ministry, how many of you know that God anoints women too? And God pours his spirit out on women also. If half of the human population did not have the power of God operating on them, then half of the human population is going to struggle. Why? Because we cannot be effective bringing people to Christ if we only got half an army. Nobody want to say amen to that? I don't know about you, but how many of y'all want to go fight somebody with only half of your folks fighting with you? And that's what we have done in the body of Christ, is we have crippled the body of Christ because we have said, no, women, you cannot take leadership roles in ministry. You just sit there and you submit and you do nothing. But God is saying, no, I'm pouring my spirit out on men and women. And as I said to you earlier about children, there is no junior Holy Spirit, nor is there a female version of the Holy Spirit, which does less than the male version of the Holy Spirit. There is one spirit, and he is poured out on everybody the same way. He does not release on a woman something completely different because she is female than he releases on a male. The same power that a man has, God will release on a woman. That's what this is saying. And I want us to understand that, because sometimes we sit back and we say, well, she's just a woman. All she can do is teach the children. Can you imagine what would happen if all you, look, how many of y'all were led to Christ by a woman? Look at the hands in the room. What if she said, I can't talk about God? Half of this room would be gone. It would be gone. So God uses women. He pours his spirit out on women. And what's interesting is we have to note that the spirit of God is falling on every woman. So today, or on women. So today, what I want to deal with is I want to talk to the men and I want to talk to the women. I know it's Mother's Day and you might say, oh, I don't need you to talk to me, Pastor. I got this. I mean, I'm in your church after all. But I want to talk to you men, not just about supporting our team. Look, because I have to say, we have the best men in church ever. The people who cheered the loudest were the men. I thought their wives would give a shout somewhere. Woo! I don't know what he's doing today. No, we literally have the best men, because it takes a really strong man to say that I will sit under a woman who's a pastor. And I will take her and see the spirit of God in her and know that she is my spiritual leader. We have men in this church who don't have a problem when we talk to them to encourage them, to correct them, to build them up. You know, all I want to see is I want to see all of our men loosed in ministry to be the best men that God has called them to be. I want to see our community transformed because we got men who are standing up for Jesus. And I believe that God has gifted me in a unique way to touch the men that God's sending. Now, if you're a guy and you're saying, I could never sit under a woman like that, God bless you. This church ain't for you. We thank you for your visit today. We appreciate you. Check out my two podcasts and see what the Lord really says about this topic. So to the men, I appreciate you. So I want to talk to our men briefly, because I want to talk to our men about, here's the thing with men. I love our men, and our men are so strong and so powerful, but the world makes them seem like they are weak because they are being led by women. That is not the case. Now, here's the interesting part. I want to relate this movement to bring women into ministry positions with the civil rights movement. In the civil rights movement in the 1960s, what was happening was African Americans were being oppressed tremendously since we came over on slave ships, absolutely oppressed. It wasn't just the Martin Luther Kings who stood up to say, okay, we need freedom. There were people who were not black who also stood up. And I believe if it weren't for the people who were not black who stood up, we would have had a really hard time really getting our civil rights and our freedom. So it's hard for me to stand up now as a believer and say, you know what, I hate all people who are like this and all people who are like this can't do this. When it was people who did not look like me who stood up to fight for me to make sure that I could do what God has called me to do. Now, if you want to take that and move that into the movement that God is trying to release women in ministry, look, women, I know women will stand up, but it's not going to bring the change that we need unless men who are not women can say, wait a second, women have the right and the ability to stand up, just like people who were not black stood up for African-American folks to say that they could do that. So, men, you're vital to this move to bring women into ministry and leadership positions. Without you, it is a very difficult fight for us. And so I want to talk to our men first, and then I'm going to address our women. So for our men, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has shared with me that if you remain silent about women in ministry and say nothing, it's just like you are agreeing with the mistreatment of women in the kingdom of God. Just like if you remain silent and see an act of injustice happening to somebody else and don't say anything. When you hear people talking about, oh, women can't do that, the men in this church ought to be standing up saying, wait a second. You know, maybe I don't know all the scriptures, but I do know there's a podcast you can listen to that will help you to understand that women can and should be doing that. We need our men to stand up for the women, and not just me, but I'm talking about for your wives, for your daughters. You not know that you have daughters and women in this church who God has an anointing and a call on their life. And if their fathers or their husbands don't encourage them, release them, bless them, and cause them to move out, those women will never be who God has called them to be. Some of you fathers, y'all got only girls. Guess what your job is? You're supposed to be releasing women who are doing what God has called them to do. That's your job. It's not just to do it for just the boy. I say that because if you have a boy, you kind of tend to, you think you put all your emphasis in the boys. But when you only have girls, you ain't got no other choice. Pastor B, Brother Eric. You've heard these teachings. Now stand up, not with an attitude, but with righteousness before the Lord, and stand up for what's right. Maybe you're here and you're saying, look, you know, that's cool. I don't buy all that. Maybe you're a guy here, or maybe you're a woman here, and you say, I don't buy all that. Let me talk to you for just a second. I don't buy the fact that women can be in ministry. Let me help you. That posture and that attitude that we take and the words that we speak saying, you know, this cool, but I just don't believe it, you're opposing the work of the Lord. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Guess what? If God is for women in ministry, as we see in the Bible, and you begin to place yourself and posture yourself against even just one woman in ministry because she's a woman, then you have just come against God's anointed. God put his anointing on her, and you're saying, I don't believe all that. I don't trust that. Guess what? The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You have just become an enemy of God. So you can't sit up in church and be like, I'm all holy and I'm all righteous and I'm going to sit there and I don't want to see no women in ministry and think that God's not going to come against you. Y'all ain't got an amen. Do y'all see that? If God is for us, who can be against? If God is for a woman that he is anointed in ministry leadership, there is nothing you're going to do that's going to stand against her. All you're going to do is start frustrating your own self. Oh, this is something. All right, you don't like that? Acts chapter 5. What was happening was Gamaliel was a teacher, and Peter had stood up for God, and they were like, oh, no, Peter's no good. We want to shut him down. And Gamaliel was a teacher of the word of God, and what he did was he stood up, and he said, in Acts chapter 5, verse 34, then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a while. He said, look, everybody get out the room. Let's talk. This was a guy who's in the room who is supposedly against those who are preaching Jesus. And in verse 35, he says, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend regarding these men. And then he starts to talk about, for some time ago, there's this guy, Thodius, who rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. So people start going with this guy, and he was killed, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. He said, after this man, there was this guy named Judas of Galilee who rose up and in the days of census and drew away many people after him. So it's another guy who shows up. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. He says in verse 38, now I want you to catch this. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. So as you start talking about women in ministry, if you're a person who's saying, I don't believe that, keep your mouth shut. Keep away from those women and leave them alone. Why? For if this is God's plan, or if this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest even be found to fight against God. If you think I can just give my opinion on the topic, you don't realize what you're doing. You're coming against women in ministry. And God has a plan to reach lives for Christ. And if you posture yourself and stand in God's way, be careful. Because Jesus even said in Luke 17:2, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown in the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So I want to talk to you men, and then I want to encourage you. Even if this ain't your thing, keep your mouth shut. I'm trying to protect you. Now, you might not like it, but I'm trying to protect you. The Bible says it would be better for you to have a rock cast around your neck and thrown in the water than for you to offend that woman of God. Now, God takes this stuff seriously. You don't like it? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now, I could drop the mic here and not stop talking about women and just say, stop saying silly stuff. No corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. How does it build anybody up if you're talking against someone else in the church? God says, just keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Watch your mouth. Why? Women are fighting for their own confidence to be able to do what God has said that they can do. They don't need these little side comments. Let me just be honest with you. look, I pastor in this city, and there are people in this city who will make snide comments to me about me pastoring. It does not build my confidence. It does not help me want to keep serving God. As a matter of fact, it makes me very angry. And a part of me wants to just rise up, you know, I'm from St. Louis. But I've been delivered from that side. Part of me wants to rise up, and I stop. And a part of me wants to fight and defend, and I stop. I don't get into arguments over my call. I don't argue my call. Men don't argue anybody's call with anybody. I don't care if you don't think she called or not, or you don't think he called. Keep your mouth shut. Come, this going to save you some headaches and some conversations you don't even want to be in. Just be quiet about it. Let them be who they are going to be. And if they're of God, they will last. And if not, as Dr. E.V. Hill said, they'll pass. So you ain't got to say nothing that's going to make it even better. Now, even in marriage, now we're about to get a little closer to home, fellas. Even in marriage, the Bible says that women, watch this, women are supposed to submit to their husbands. But that word submit doesn't mean that she's less than. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to submit the same way that Christ submits to the Father. And Christ and the Father were equal. There was nothing in the Bible that says that Jesus was less than God. And there is nothing, women, when you submit to a husband that says you are less than your husband. I know all y'all want to shoot me, women, right now. I've been empowering you, and then I said submit. Just hold on. I'm going to teach you this now. I'm going to come back to that one. So all the husbands, all the men are like, she beat me up. She about to get you now, girl. For the men, I'm still on you. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:24 says that we should submit to one to another. But it goes on in verse 25 to say, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. So men, we can't talk about how she needs to submit when I say jump and say ha, 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 and I don't love her the way Christ loved the church. Let me tell you, how did Christ love the church? Not only did he die for the church, does Jesus repress the church? Does his headship and his role in the church's life cause the church to be small and stiff and bound up and feel inadequate? Or does Jesus release the church so that the church does what they're called to do to reach people for the body of Christ? He does not bind the church. He does not suppress the church. No, he freed the church to serve him. He freed the church to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in case you are not sure, what does Jesus do in your life? Jesus doesn't suppress you. Jesus doesn't hold you back. You know what he does? He pulls you out of your mess, stretches you, and causes you to go beyond your comfort zone. He causes you to walk in faith. And as a husband, your role is not to subject your wife, but to love her, to draw out of her her best, to help her to be who all God has called her to be, to release her to do the gifts and the call that God has in her life. That is your role, to love her the same way Christ is loving the church. Look, guys, your wives have supported you and they've helped you. Maybe now is the time for you to support her and help her. So you might say, well, how do I do that? What? You know what? Let me tell you something. Ask yourself this question. What makes my wife's eyes sparkle? If she's doing this, you can tell she's in her element. What's that thing that puts your wife in that space where she is like, yes, this is what I was made for? Now, it's Mother's Day and Women's Day. My husband, I love my husband. He had the best heart. And what he would do every year, or at least early on in our marriage, every week, was he would buy me flowers every week on Monday. And he would bring these beautiful flowers arrangements in, and I told my mom called her boyfriend, which she later married. She was like, Shayna's husband buys her flowers every week. So, you know, my mom was kind of like, that's pretty cool. And I was sitting there going like, flowers. Yay. He was like, why aren't you more excited that you get flowers every day? They die. I'm not a flower. I mean, I do enjoy a good set of flowers every now and again. But every week I was like, man, we just tossing these things. This is a waste of money. Why don't you give me that money? Let me go get my hair done. Go get my nails done. How about you just give me that cash? Let me go shopping, bro. He was trying to encourage me, but he didn't understand me. So husbands, how do you support and encourage the call on your wife? Become a student of your wife. Find out what your wife like. Your wife ain't like me. She might like flowers. Your wife is not like Pastor Jen. Your wife, let me give you a clue. Fellas, if you ain't been married long enough to figure this out, your wife ain't like nobody you ever met. So you have to be a student of her to find out what she needs, what makes her sparkle, and how you can encourage her. Let me tell you something, because a lot of guys, what y'all like to do, and I'm not harping on brothers because it's Mother's Day. I'm about to get to the women in a second. Trust me, I got you. But guys, what we like to do is guys like to fix women. Okay, no, you know I don't. I don't do that. Let me tell you something. When she come home and she tell you about her day and you be like, well, baby, all you got to do is do this. She loses it, don't she? Because she didn't tell you that because she wanted you to give her an answer. She told you that because she just wanted you to listen. And guys don't mean no harm. They ain't trying to hurt you. Look, ladies, hear this. They want the best for you. In their best way, they're saying, look, you're stressed out. Why don't you just organize your life like this? You don't know. Come on, fellas. Y'all heard that? You don't know anything, right? Let me help you. When you do that, it does not encourage her. It discourages her. It makes her feel like there's something wrong with her. Like, I can't even get this right. I can't even do that right. So you can't come in with Mr. Fix-It tools and be Tim the Toolman Taylor and think you can solve everything and encourage her. Here's how you encourage your wife. You talk to her and you say, hun, what is passionate on your heart? And how can I help you live that out? You go to God and you pray and you say, God, what can I do to help this woman you've blessed me with be the most amazing woman of God I've ever met? How do I help her live out her purpose? Maybe for a season, it's saying, you know what, hun, while you go back to school, I'm going to stay and watch the kids at night. That's my husband, she said. Well, it ain't Father's Day. You know, I'm just kidding. You know, maybe that is encouraging her, because I'm going to tell you something. Women get discouraged a lot. Maybe it's just sending her a note telling her, you're awesome. Babe, you got this. You can do this. Whatever God puts on your heart, men, this is how you encourage your women to help them be who God has called them to be. Somebody say amen. Fellas, say, thank God that's over. Y'all weren't supposed to say it. They said, we're just being obedient. You told us to say it. All right, let me talk to our women. Let me talk to our women. Ephesians 4, y'all are funny. Ephesians 4, 1, for all of our women, all of our girls, Ephesians 4, 1 says, I therefore, this is Paul speaking, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That means I urge you, I beg you, women, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. All of the ladies, if you didn't know it, you can see it right here, you were called. He didn't just write this to men. There's no statement that says all the men. He's writing to the church. The church has men and women. And he says, if you didn't know it, I want you, I urge you to walk worthy of this call. Everybody says, I'm called. All the ladies say, I am called. Now watch this. For all the women and all the moms, I pray that as I speak to you, the Holy Spirit will confirm some things to you. To all the women, to all the girls, here's what I want to encourage you. How do you walk worthy of this call? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you women to seek God like never before so that the power of the Holy Spirit can dwell on you to do what God has called you to do. Seek him with all your heart and don't put any limitations on yourself, women. God has a place for you and he wants to use you in a very significant way. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to force something to happen. Allow your gifting to make a way for you. Trust the Lord to use you and to open doors as he sees fit. I want the women in this room to have a free conscience that God is with you. God is for you. God has anointed you. You are not some defiant, radical, strange woman because you decided that you have a call on your life. No, you are walking in the same inheritance alongside of your brothers in Christ. See, we got too many folks who need to be reached with the gospel. We got too many folks who need to hear the word of God. We got too many folks who need to be delivered from drugs and alcohol. We got too many folks who are out there dealing with difficult marriages for us to not say, okay, women, I need you to rise up. No, women, all hands on deck. I need you to know the power of God that is operating in you, because we got way too much work to do in the kingdom of God. Now, women, I have four directions from the Lord. And if you have a pen and piece of paper, I want you to write these four things down. The first thing I want you to write is this. I need to accept my calling. I need to accept my calling. Your calling, whatever it may be, whatever capacity it could be, and to teach children, to teach youth, to lead, to be a servant, to be a giver, whatever that is, whatever role that is in the body of Christ, or even out in the world. It doesn't even have to be in the church. Maybe God's calling you to teach in the world. Maybe God's calling you to lead in the world. Whatever it is, it's not just what people allow you to do, but it is what God has called you to do. I want you to accept that call, because God has called you to it. The Bible says in Joshua 1, no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I love that he says, no man, women. And the Bible goes on to say, Joshua, even though as I was with Moses, so I'm with you. So women, no man, nothing can stand against what God has called you to do. You have a gift, you have a call, and God wants to use you. So I need you to accept your calling. So women, say this, I need to accept my calling. Oh, that was freeing for somebody right there. Number two, here's what I want you to write. I need to trust God to open the doors. You need to trust God to open the doors. A big mistake many women, and not just women, but men make, is they think if I open the door and I promote myself, then God is pleased and God's going to work there. Absolutely not. This goes for men and women. But women in particular, let me just say this for you today. Psalm 75, verse 6 through 7 in the King James Version says this, for promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the north or south, but from God, who is the judge. He puts down one and he sets up another. Let me tell you something. God will promote you when he's ready to promote you. You ain't got to promote yourself. You ain't got to be over nobody. You ain't got to try to push nothing. You ain't got to try to pry nothing. All you got to do is be who God has called you to be, and God will open a door for you. Let me give some of y'all a clue. All the women who come in and they have an anointing, let me tell y'all something, because I like to teach and I like to teach well. If God has called you to be a prophet, you ain't got to tell everybody your name is Prophetess so-and-so. That's promoting yourself. If you're a prophet, they're going to see the anointing and the spirit of prophecy on you. People go, I'm in the community, and I want to say this because I just noticed my son's baseball coach, Coach Talents, is here. He is one of the greatest men of God I've seen in the community, standing up for God. Some of y'all kids play for Coach Talents. He runs Evergreen Little League, or he's the president of Evergreen Little League. But, you know, Talents, because I see you, I'm going to say this. What's interesting is when I go out of the community, I'm in places like that, I don't tell people. They say, what's your name? I don't say, I'm Pastor Shana. I do that in the church because y'all are like, who is that crazy woman up there? Oh, she's the pastor. But when I'm out in the community, I don't say, I'm Pastor Shana. You know why I don't say that? Because they don't give a flip. And let me tell you something. If you have a call and you got a title with your call, you ain't got to tell everybody. The anointing of God will show itself on your life. And people will say, there is something different about you. There's something unique about you. Hey, you, what's going on with you? And then when people find out I'm a pastor, first thing they say is, for real? I don't know if that's because how I act or because they say it's a woman. I can't figure it out. Come on. You don't have to promote yourself. So women, if there is a call on your life with a title, or maybe you're saying, I know God has called me and I'm going to be the CEO of a company. You don't have to walk around like everybody do what I say because I'm the CEO. Just do your job. Just be who God has called you to be, and God will bring the promotions. You don't have to deal with that. As a matter of fact, Revelation 3:7 says this, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the keys of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Let me tell you something. God will open a door for you that no man can shut, and God will close a door for you that nobody can open. So you ain't got to try to open and close no doors. Just trust God. He'll do the rest. You just got to trust him. Here's the third thing, ladies, I want you to write. Now, this one you don't hate me for. I'm also a woman. Don't shoot me. Don't throw bullets. I'm going to explain. I need humility and submission. Look, don't pull no guns out on me. Watch this. It is interesting that in Scripture, when the Bible is dealing with women and wives, the topic of submission comes up a lot. They must be submissive. Paul says it. Peter says it. Different authors say it. There is something of an attitude of the heart that the Bible is trying to get and deal with. Now, ladies, let me help you. God also deals with everyone. Submit to those who are in authority. So it ain't just a woman thing. Every time women here submit, the enemy got y'all feeling like you ready to fight. Submit. Submit to nobody. Throw that down. We have to, let me tell you something. In every other organization, there's order. You got your boss, you still got to submit to your boss. Male or female, I don't care who you are, you got a boss, you got to submit to him. God has an order in the home. It's the husband, then he places the wife in submission to her husband. Now, watch this. Just because I submit to my boss doesn't mean I'm not a valuable employee. Doesn't mean I don't have good ideas. Don't mean that my boss don't listen to me. And don't mean that my boss don't sit here and encourage and help me to be who all I'm created to be. You know what? What it means is that my boss has a vision. I support, we talk about, but whatever they finally decide, because they're the head, I roll with. Jesus Christ was in submission to the Father. You can see it in the garden. Jesus didn't want to die. It ain't like Jesus wanted to do everything God said. He didn't want to go to the cross neither. Just like you don't want to do everything that you think your husband wants you to do either. But Jesus, who was the perfect representation of being equal and yet saying, I understand the order, he says they are all one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. If Jesus can do that, so can women. Women, let me help you. Why is this so important for women? Because in the home, husbands, kids don't see nobody, kids don't see the bosses that they husbands have, that they dads have. They don't know what happens at work. They know what they're told, but they don't see it. But they can see a wife and her husband. And when they see her, they truly learn what submission is. They learn what it means to understand and place myself under authority. They learn what it means to be respectful to authority by watching the wife. Let me help you, brothers. You can tell your child all day, but they don't see you do that. They see the wife do that. And so Paul and Peter are saying, look, women, you got a whole lot of eyes on you. And I need you to teach people how to live under authority by living under the authority that I've placed in your home. Your responsibility is greater than the husband's because, you know, they can't, guys, you can go out in the world and disrespect your boss, kick your boss in the head, and your kids don't ever see that. But a woman, when she comes home, when she disrespects, fight, the kids are like, oh. Then what happens is what the mom does, the kids start to do. Oh, Jesus. So when you got this rebellious children, they about to shoot me, Aunt Brenda? They really are. Here we go. When you have rebellious children, you need to start asking yourself the question, am I being rebellious mom? Maybe at work, maybe with my spouse, maybe even in the church. Because they're going to model what they see in you. I'm a single woman, a pastor, and I have two children. At home, I'm the head because I don't have a head. But what many of y'all don't know is I have voluntarily placed myself under the covering of other pastors. Pastor Cal Cook, Pastor Tony Williams from Maranatha. Those are my coverings. Pastor Scott Simarock over at Church on the Hill. Those are my coverings. So I go to them, and they have a right, and they have, to come to me and say, this ain't right. Watch this. Why do I do that? Because if you don't see me in submission to anybody, y'all going to be some renegade Christians. Not only that, but I need it too, right? So this really is not an issue about you submitting because you're less than. It's about an issue of you having the opportunity to model what it looks like to submit to authority. When your kids go out and they have to face a police officer or a boss or a teacher, you're modeling for them how they behave in those situations by how you behave. Now, watch this. Let me go on. Number four, the fourth thing I want to tell you is, women, write this down. When God calls me, here's the question you have to answer. Will I arise? Will I arise? I'm not talking about your overall calling. I'm talking about when God opens a door, will you just sit there, or will you answer the call and step up to the plate? The Holy Spirit is not just saying you can minister, but I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, we need you women to step up and minister. There are too many people who are lost in this world. And women, I need you. I want you to look at Judges chapter 4. I'm going to close on this passage. Judges chapter 4, we've looked at over the course of this teaching, the study of Deborah and Barak. But I want to show you something that the Lord has revealed to me, and I want to break this down for you, because I believe it'll help you understand this message and bring it all to a close. Judges chapter 4, verse 4 says, now Deborah, a prophetess, by the way, she was a prophet and she was also a wife. So she was serving in a domestic role at home, but she was serving in a leadership role at work. She was judging Israel at that time, and she would sit underneath the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came to her for judgment. Now I want you to watch this. She then, verse 6, sends and calls for Barak and the son of all those people. And he said, and says to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? So she has heard from God. And she says to this commander in the army, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the son of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes at the river Kishon. And I will deliver him into your hand. So Barak is a guy. He comes to the woman. She says, I want you to go out in battle. God is going to give you the victory. Now, Barak could have said, here's the men's side. Barak could have said, all right, let's go. You said God's going to deliver them into my hand. Let's bounce. I want you to know there are three heroes in this story. I'm going to start with the male Barak. There's the male Barak, there's the male Deborah, and there's another female Deborah, and there's one more female we'll talk about. Barak says, look, Deborah, I don't want to go if you don't go with me. And most people say, ah, he being weak. He's a wimp. Needs a woman to go fight in battle. But what he's saying is no. You have the voice of God. You have the presence of God in your life. I'm not going to go into battle unless the presence of God goes with me. And since the presence of God is on you, girl, I need you. Let's go. Barak is a hero to me because Barak understood the power of the presence of God. And he's a guy. He's asking for a woman's help. Watch this, verse 9. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey and you are taking, for the Lord will sell Caesarea into the hand of a woman. Wait a second, Barak. I'll go with you, but you're not going to get no glory out of this. This is why Barak's my hero. Barak says, check this out. I don't care about that. I don't need the spotlight on me. I care about my people being victorious. I care about people being free. I care about people being delivered. I don't care if a woman is used, the jawbone of a donkey is used, or you use me. Let's just go get some folks free. That was Barak's attitude. So guys, I want you to be a hero and say, I don't really care, God, who you use. Let's just break some chains. Let's just loose some folks. Let's see some people heal. Let's see some people get free. You ain't got to use me, but God, do what you got to do to get somebody free. Deborah says, check it out. God's going to use a woman. Now, what's interesting is it's not her. It's another woman. But the Bible says, then Deborah arose. Somebody say, Deborah arose. There is coming a time when you cannot just keep doing what you are doing now. There is a war that is going on with the enemy, a battle that needs to be fought. The Lord is going to call on you women, and somebody is going to have to say, I will go, I will arise, because God is saying, I need you. It's going to be easy for you to stay in your comfort zone and do what you've been doing and do what feels good to you and do what you've been used to. But I want you to know it is time for you to arise and to step up, because there is a great victory that God needs for you to go out and fight and be won. Deborah says to Barak, up in verse 14, she says, check this out. This is the day the Lord is going to deliver Caesarea into your hands. So Barak goes out. Caesarea is the enemy. He comes into a servant's tent. Her name is Jael. Jael takes a tent peg and stabs him in the head and kills him. The person who won the war was a woman named Jael. She was a servant. Hero number three, it wasn't the woman Deborah on the platform. Deborah's my hero because she was the leader and she went out. But my other third hero is Jael. You know why Jael's a hero? Because Jael was minding her own business. She was in her tent, keeping her house, but she was a woman of God who was anointed. God chose her tent to send the enemy to because he knew she was powerful. He knew she wasn't going to let the enemy take out her family and take out her countrymen. He knew she had the power of God on the inside of her that if the chance came up, she would arise. She would do what's right. He knew that she didn't care if she was on a platform or if she was sitting in a pew. She had a call. She had something she had to do. And when the moment came, she lulled him. He asked for water. She gave him milk so he was lulled to sleep. And she had a tent peg in her hand. Let me tell you something. That wasn't a new piece of equipment for her. She done hammered in tent pegs for a while because she living in a tent. Just like a stone wasn't a new piece of equipment for David when he came across Goliath. What I'm telling you is she used what she had right where she was, and God gave her the victory. She could have hit him in the wrong spot, and had she hit him in the wrong spot, she would have died. But she said, I will risk my life to rise up right now, right where I am, to do what God has called me to do. And God brought her victory. Let me tell you something. God don't need every woman in here up here on stage. That would be crazy. You know what God needs? He needs you right where you are. In your home. As a mother, as a wife, as a coworker. He needs you on your job. To rise up. And whenever the opportunity presents itself where the enemy is coming against you, you, anointed woman of God, need to be the hero in the story and pick up whatever is in your hand and destroy the work of the enemy in the lives of people around you. So I don't know who you are this morning. Maybe you're the Barack. And you need to say, I don't need the glory. I just want to encourage people and women to be who God has called them to be. Maybe you're the Deborah and the public ministry and the leadership is for you. Maybe there's probably more of these type of heroes than that. You're the JLs, who they may not be called to a high profile position, but the Holy Spirit is on you and there are victories to be won in you. You are the hero to somebody's story. You need to be ready and be prepared to have the guts and the faith to step up. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. Judges 5:7, Deborah's singing a song of victory. She's singing it with Barak. And she says this, village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Village life ceased. You know what that means? You ever seen people drug addicted? Their life has ceased. You ever seen people battling cancer? They can't go live life every day like it's normal. You see people who are in unhappy marriages? That's not the life God called them to. See rebellious children? That's not God's life for them. People stressed out, people under financial pressure. See, life is ceasing for them. And God is saying, until you, women and men of God, arise. Right where you are. She said she didn't arise as a father. She arose as a mother because she was a mother. Wherever you are, arise. Arise and do what God has called you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're Barack. Maybe you're Deborah. Maybe you're JL. I don't know who you are. But I sense that today, God is trying to release you to do what he's called you to do. If you're here today and maybe you've questioned that call, maybe you've struggled with it, I don't need to know which one it is. I don't know if it's public. I don't need to know if it's private. I don't even know if you're a guy, because you might be a guy and it's public and private. I don't really care. But what I want you to do is this. If you're here and you're saying, you know what, God, I believe you have a call for my life and I don't want to run anymore. I just don't want to run. I've been trying to excuse my way out of it. I don't even know exactly what the call is. but I know it's a call. If that's you, I want you to lift your hands right now. I want to pray for you. I don't, all over the building. I got a call. Maybe it's to support. Maybe it's to lead. Maybe it's to teach. Maybe it's to give. I don't know what it is. Just lift your hand wherever you are. I want to pray for you. Now, if you're standing and you're around, watch this. I want you to just extend your hand towards the people that have their hands lifted around you. Because I want you to encourage them just by extending your hand. You can touch them if you choose to or not. It's on you. But we're going to pray right now. Father, I pray for every person with their hand lifted. Come on, those of you with your hand lifted, say, God, I accept the call. Now, some of us need to stop right there because we're already trying to qualify it. But I hear the Lord saying, stop. Just accept it. I will do whatever you want me to do. Say, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. When the door is open, I'll go, God. I will arise. At the moment you call me, I'll do what you ask me to do. No matter the cost. God, I want to serve you. Use me. Father God, right now as we pray this prayer, I pray that you would release the Spirit of God to bring boldness, God. An ability to hear from you, to know when you are speaking, to know when the door is open, and to know what you've called them to do. I pray, Father God, for clarity. You are not a God that wants us to be ignorant of what you want us to do. I declare on those with their hands lifted that God will speak your next step. He will show you what he wants you to do. It will become very clear, and you're going to say, yes, 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 God. I declare that the voices of fear be silenced right now in the name of Jesus. I declare that for men in this room, there are some men with a call of God on their life. This has nothing to do with the women, but there's a call for you to live for God like never before. And I declare over your life that you will answer that. You will rise up because this is not about you. This is not about what you want or how you want. It is about somebody else getting saved, somebody else getting delivered, somebody else getting set free. And God wants to use you to break chains, to break yokes right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I release a spirit of yes all over us to you. I declare that the villages will no longer lose life, but God, we shall arise right where we are. I release in you a desire to rise and give God glory. Come on, somebody begin to give God some praise right now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May you go out and be the JLs, the Baracks, and the Deborahs this week, where you arise and do what God has called you to do. God bless you. If you need prayer, our prayer team will be up. And when people ask how you're doing, may your response be, I dismiss you in the Lord. Give somebody.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.